wisdom literature. In almost any philosophy that anybody ever wrote, Hegel, Spinoza, it didn't make any difference. Plato, Aristotle, Aristophanes, Euripides, all, nobody ever wrote anything that wasn't found in this little book right here. 12 little chapters. Anybody that ever claimed to be a philosopher had to get his seed thought, his originality, his pattern from right here. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. A feast is made for laughter, and wine maketh merry, but money answereth all things. Let's pray. Father, help us now tonight. Give us wisdom and literature. Give us wisdom and liberty to preach. I pray, Lord God, the message would be beneficial and helpful to us, and help us to talk about this thing in an intelligent way, and may it be something that'll help God's people manage their resources so that we can do those things you would lay on our heart to do. We'd thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you look back over in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 for a second, before we actually get started, Ecclesiastes chapter 7. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. That verse said money is a defense. And it is. Money can do a lot of things for you. And money's not everything. The love of money is the root of all evil. Now the new translations all say, for money is the root of all kinds of evil. That's not what it says. It says, the love of money is the root of all evil. And so we're not to love money. That is, we're not to cherish money for money's sake. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes said, and what good is silver to him that hath it, but the beholding of it with his eyes? I mean, money for money's sake, not much point to it. Yet there are people in the world who are just money hungry. They want money for the sake of how much they can have. Money's a tool. It's an instrument. It enables you to do certain things. Money's not bad if you keep it in its right place and if you use it rightly. If you'll look at the credit reports of most Americans and the amount of debt and credit Americans have run up, you'll quickly realize most folks do not manage their money well. Now, they say there's four things that cause 98% of all the trouble in marriages. Sex, money, children, and religion, in that order. Most of the time, if folks fight, that's what it's about. You say, well, we never fight about money. We fight about me getting a new pickup truck. That's money. See? If you have to buy it, if you have to purchase it, if there's a price tag on it, I don't care what you call the item, the root is money. Amen? And most folks only have a certain amount of discretionary funds. That is, after you pay the bills and buy the groceries, there ain't but a couple of bucks left. And that's what we fight over. How are we going to spend it? Going to spend it on a new Zebco? Going to spend it down at Belk's on a new dress? And then the kids come along, and you can fuss and fight all you want to, and the kid gets it anyway. Amen. Just mark it down for the next 25 years, they're going to get everything you got. So just learn to live with that. But money is a major issue in our lives. Money can be a blessing. Money can also be a curse. A lack of money can be a curse. Now, if you want to see folks fight, especially young couples who are making incredible adjustments in their lifestyle, that leap from going from being single to being married, and always having to think about somebody else It's no longer just me. And having to include them and consider their wants and wishes and needs the same way you consider yours, boy, that takes a while to work out. Amen? Now, all you got to do is get them two people in debt or broke, same difference, and coop them up where they can't go anywhere. They can't go out to dinner. They can't buy a hamburger. They can't get a new dress. He can't buy a fishing lure. And they're sitting there at that house. The war's on. It's your fault. It's your fault. If you hadn't bought, if you made more, if you didn't spend so much, and buddy, the fights that have been fought over money and the bitterness and the anger and the marriages that have trouble because of a lack of money or indebtedness, which results in the same thing, no money to spend, are just absolutely unbelievable. And I bet you there's nobody in this room been exempt from that at one time or another. Everybody ought to say, been there, done that. Now, like any other subject that affects the way you live, the Bible has a great deal to say about money. Far more than we could cover tonight. I'm just going to pick a few little verses and just to illustrate the point. But if you ever have financial problems, the place to find the answer for them is in the Bible, just like anything else in your life. You've got problems with the husband-wife relationship, the answer's in here. Amen. You've got problems being a good citizen, the answer's in here. You've got questions about your relationship to government, the answer's in here. You've got questions about training your children, they're in here. See? Everything that pertains to your welfare, God put in that book. And if you don't have a biblical answer for it, because you ain't looked. And if you don't know enough about your Bible to look yourself, you ought to find somebody that does. And if you need an answer to any of life's questions or to any of life's situations, they're in this Bible. And you ought to look there long before you go to see some credit counselor or some marriage counselor or some shrink or any of those other worldly people. The answers are right here in this book you have laying in your lap. By way of illustration, let me give you five or six things about money just to show you that things haven't changed much in the last 6,000 years. Back in Genesis chapter 47 and verse 15, they ran out of money. There was a depression. There was a money shortage. Folks didn't have money to buy groceries, and they were selling their children. They had hocked everything they had. That you say, once in 20 years, what you say it? I'm saying when you run out of money, you get desperate. Amen. Amen. Do you know there's more bank robberies, more fast food robberies, more convenience stores robbed at Christmas time than any other time of the year? You know why? There's also more suicides around Christmas than any other time of the year. Because people are desperate because they don't have money. And they don't know how to deal with it. But in Genesis 47, God had sent the plagues on the land of Egypt, and Egypt was broke. In Genesis chapter 23 and verse 13, you find that money can be a blessing because it gives you purchasing power. He said, I will give thee money for the field. If you got money, you can buy things. Boy, I love to buy things. You just can't buy more things than you got money for. Amen. And if you buy them ahead of time, that's credit, then you're putting yourself in a hole. Because what you could have bought this week and paid for it, you can no longer buy because you've got now to pay for what you bought last week. Credit is a bottomless pit. Amen. I'm not saying don't ever use it, but I'm saying you sure better keep a handle on it because it can get away with you quicker than you can possibly imagine. And before you know it, you're in right up to here. And every dime you make for the next 5 years is going to go pay off a bill you made a year ago. And then you're going to be tired of whatever it is you bought, or it's going to wear out or break, or it's not going to be as exciting as you thought it was. and you're going to want to do something else or buy something, and guess what? You ain't got the money. You know what your problem is? You didn't manage your money well. You're in debt. Don't get in debt. 1 Kings chapter 21, verse 2, you ought to use your money wisely. He said, I will give thee the worth of it in money. When you buy something, make sure that you're getting a good deal. Don't pay more than it's worth. People go down and buy a car, especially women, bless their heart, they get rooked. And I don't know why it is every salesman in the world thinks a woman is a sucker. They're not. A lot of them are pretty sharp. But they try to hoodoo women. They try to charge them a higher interest rate. They allow them less money for their old trade-in, and they will knock off less on what you're buying. You've got to watch them. Amen. And if you're not careful, you'll pay more for it than it's worth. A great place to pay more for it than it's worth is go down to any jewelry store. ~400 to 1,000% markup. It ain't worth what you're paying. You're getting rooked. I'm not telling you don't buy jewelry. My wife loves jewelry, and I bought a lot of it. But you learn pretty quick where to go buy it. And you go to them rock and gym shows and get them people with the wholesale license and that kind. I mean, because if you go down to Zales or, what's that, Every Kiss Begins with a K, who's that? Who? K's? Go to them kind of places, you're going to get ripped, right? But you can pay too much for almost anything. You can pay too much for a car. You can pay way too much for a house. Before you go spend your money, do a little research and find out what it's really worth and what it's going for. The guy's got, you let the guy make a profit. That's where all in business make money. Just don't get robbed. Amen. Where was that? Smart money. Be smart with your money. In Matthew chapter 22 and verse 19, you have to spend some money on taxes. In Matthew 20, Lord Jesus Christ paid taxes. I know a lot of Christians that don't think you ought to pay taxes. And one of the smartest fellows I ever knew, a fellow named Dr. Stuart Crane from down at Bob Jones University, put out a series of tapes, and one of them was called Wizards and Eggheads. That's kind of a weird title, but it had to do with the Illuminati and the Bilderbergers and Trilateral Commission and all that stuff and money, because all that stuff is about money. See, when they talk about world domination and the conspiratorial theory of history and all that, it's all money. Anything that has anything to do with anything in the world, sooner or later, comes back to money. That's just the way it is. Dr. Stuart Crane was one of them folks. He was a brilliant man. But he didn't think you ought to pay taxes. He thought they were unconstitutional. Well, last I heard, he's still in jail for income tax evasion. I don't recommend it. Best thing to do is just stay as far away from the IRS as you can. Pay your taxes, moan and groan about it, and whine and cry about it, and you can just kick up as much ruckus as you want to about they're giving your money to unwed mothers and paying for medical treatment for AIDS patients, and all that's true, but pay it anyway. Amen. Matthew chapter 25, verse 18 through 27, there's a case there where you can invest your money. He said, put my money to the exchangers. That's the Dow Jones. That's the American Stock Exchange. That you invest in your money to make money. Put your money to work. Amen? You say, well, I don't really have any money. Well, then start small. Buy a little mutual fund. Buy a little tiny CD. Get a little IRA. Invest it someplace. If you put just a handful of dollars a month away in your 20s, every month, 12 months out of a year, for 30 years, when you go and look and see how much you've got, you're going to be surprised. I mean, you're going to drop your teeth about how much money collected over that span of time. Amen. And the truth is, you can put in such a small amount, you don't really notice it. Next time you get a pay raise and it's $10 a week, instead of taking it home and buying two or three extra hamburgers, just put it in an IRA or put it in a CD or put it in a 401k. And when you get old and decrepit, you have money. You won't be fit to use it, but you'll have it. You can sit there and count it and say, boy, if I'd have had this when I was young. And the kids will say, well, Pa, leave it to us. We'll do that. What I'm trying to show you there is the Bible has a lot to say about money. The wise use of it, the unwise use of it, making money. God's not opposed to you making money. If you want answers about money, in this Bible, see? If you've got financial problems or you're seeking financial solutions or whatever it is, look in the book. The answer is always in this book. Discretionary money. That's money that you have to spend. That's found in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 24. And it's talking about a guy had money and his wife complaining because he didn't bring her any sweet cane, a sweet treat. He had the money. He had the discretionary funds, but he didn't treat his wife and she was sulking about it. Does that not sound like the 21st century to you? Huh? Somebody tell me the Bible is not up to date. Come on. Say it ain't so. Things ain't changed a bit. Amen. If you got an extra dollar, Mama thinks you ought to spend it on her. Amen. Now, the idea there, though, is this, that not all your money has to go to pay bills or to pay your tithes or, those kind of things or to savings. You really are at liberty to spend some of it and enjoy it. There's nothing wrong with taking a little vacation. There's nothing wrong with having some of the finer things in life as long as you manage your money and meet all your other responsibilities and duties and obligations. See? But in order to do that, you're going to have some money management. You're going to have some wisdom with your money. If you spend too much on fun things, then there's not enough left for groceries or to pay the bills or to cover emergencies when they come up. And boy, you're talking about, there's one place a lot of folks get in trouble. They never set aside anything for something to break. They think everything they got's going to run forever. And so they say, well, you know, if we're real careful, we could buy this new car. And so they go out and they buy it, and they're paying $500 a month for it, and they don't have a dime left over, and the washing machine goes out. They don't have money for a washing machine, so they put it on plastic. This is called a downward spiral here. This is called digging a hole. This is called getting yourself in financial trouble. See? The Bible allows people to borrow money. But boy, you better be careful at it. Nehemiah chapter 5 and verse 4, they said, we have borrowed money. They were in hard times. There was a depression. There was a drought in the land. And so the men of the house, in order to keep his family together, borrowed money. The Bible doesn't condemn it. But that's one of those things where you're getting something ahead of paying for it. You're going to have to pay for it after the fact. And that's a good way to end up in that hole we're talking about. Don't borrow unless you have to borrow. Amen. And the truth is, most of the spending that people do in our day and age is not for necessities. Most of the debt incurred in the United States of America is for want-tos, for frivolous things. Here's a guy making $30,000 a year and he's got an $8,000 plasma TV. What's wrong with this picture? He just spent almost one third of his gross income on one toy. Am I right or wrong? He's still got a house payment and probably a car payment and maybe two. Amen. And a light bill and a gas bill and a water bill and insurance payments and taxes. And he's got to buy groceries, and he's got to have medical expenses and repairs on the car. Man, I don't think he could afford to spend $8,000 for a television set. Amen. Amen. He'd have been better off if he went down to Walmart and got him a Sanyo. Amen. Amen. So, a whole bunch more. But if you look, the Bible has plenty to say about making money, keeping money, and spending money. And just like anything else, God expects you to have some wisdom about it and to use your head. Amen? Now, God also allows that we are to enjoy the fruits of our labor. If God has blessed and your bills are paid and your tithes are caught up and you've got a little side for a rainy day and you managed to stick some in a nest egg for old age and you got money left, take that Caribbean cruise. Help yourself. Just don't go in the hole to do it. Americans go on vacation and put it on plastic. That's insanity. What you're going to do is pay 18 to 26% interest for your vacation. And you went on a one-week vacation, and now it's going to take you 3 years to pay for it. Not smart. Not smart. Now, having used that as an introduction, let me give you five things about money. I actually have 5 points, and then I have 3 notes. Number one. Money should be gotten with the blessing of the Lord. I hear people all the time talk about they're broke. I work with some guys that, honest to goodness, they live from paycheck to paycheck. And their paycheck's usually one day a week short because they're going to lay out either Monday or Friday. I mean, they're not going to work 5 days. They're just not going to do it. And they're always talking about, oh, I wish I had one of those, and I'd like to have one of those. Boy, wouldn't you like to live so and like so and so? And they're whining and crying. They don't have money for this. They don't have money for that. And them sorry devils go out and spend $6 or $7 a day for lunch. They're all down at Mickey D's with a triple cheeseburger, a Biggie Fry, and a 32-ounce cola. Not to mention probably 1 or 2 packs of cigarettes a day at $3 a pack. This guy's making $10 an hour. He's got a wife and kids. How can you spend that much money every day of your life? He could have had a bologna sandwich. I know it's not exciting, but it's cheap. Amen. I've been living off of ham and cheese every day for as long as I can remember. So why do you do it? It's cheap. If I spend $5 or $6 a day for lunch, I can't take my wife out on the weekend. I'd rather eat bologna and cheese or ham and cheese every day and take my baby doll out this weekend. Amen. You'd be surprised how sweet they are. You take them out and romance them a little bit. Amen. But if you eat it up all weekend, she's going to fuss all weekend. And I don't blame her. You got to make sure you get your money with God's blessing. The Bible said, people talking about money, we should have said, we will go into such and such a city and work a year and get gain. He said, you should have said, Lord willing. If you want your money to be blessed, if you want to get the most out of it, if you want God to bless it, then you got to get it the right way. Now, you say, well, I work hard and all that. Okay, did you volunteer to work on Sunday so you could make extra money? Did you take a job where you got to work on Sunday when you could have been off on Monday or Saturday? You could have worked those days and been off on Sunday and then want God to bless it when you volunteered to work and you don't got it. Now, I know there's a lot of jobs where you don't have any choice. But sometimes we do that. See, you didn't get your money in a way that God can bless because you put God on the back seat in order to get it. Amen? If you got to work over or work a second, work on Saturday. Work in the evenings. Amen. Don't take Sunday and say, well, the Lord understands I had to work. Yeah, He does understand you had to work. Maybe you've got a real problem, but you didn't have to work on Sunday. Amen. People get themselves in a financial mess, and then they want to work a second job and this, that, and the other, And so they end up working on Saturday and are working till late on Saturday. And so they lay in on Sunday. Now, how are you going to ask God to bless what you're doing when you're laying out on God? After all, God is supposed to come first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. We want to seek all these things first and then find God. Make sure that you got your money in a manner and in a way that God can bless. Amen. And then pray and ask God to bless it. Money should be tithed to God. Now, you knew I'd get there, right? I'm a Baptist. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Every Baptist knows that verse. That's where it says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. And people see that and they get all panicky because God wants 10% of your money. And He wants 10% off the top. It's of the first fruits of thine increase. So if you make $500 a week, you don't give God $35 because you took on $350. You give God $50. It's off the top. Amen. Amen. You give God the tithe. And now if you read the rest of that passage there in Malachi, he said if you bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that mine house might be full and all that, what did he say he'd do? He said, I'd pour you out a blessing, shaking down, running over, that you'll not be able to receive. If you want your money blessed, don't steal from God. He said, well, preacher, I just got so much debt and I owe everybody and I just don't have the money to tithe. J.C. Penney is more important. J.C. Penney intimidates you more than God. Something weird about that. I'd rather pay God and beat J.C. Penney out of theirs. Amen. You write them a letter. You steal from God, buddy, you're in trouble. Amen? I wouldn't steal from God. I make sure God gets His before anybody else gets theirs. There's not any question about are we going to tithe this week or not. I don't care if you're going on vacation. The thing to do is take your tithe money out and leave it home. You know what happened? You go down there on that vacation and get to having a good time and you'll have a flat tire sure as a world and have to spend it. And you know what happens when you spend it? You won't put it back. Well, the Lord understood. I was going to. Yeah, He understands. You didn't. It's just that simple. You have to use your head. You have to understand human nature. Well, nobody knows I didn't tithe. Well, God knows. Amen. God knows. Well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. You're wicked as the devil and you stole His money. Amen. And then you say, now, Lord, I want you to bless. Well, you just stole from Him. Why should He do you a favor? Amen. Tithe. Tithe. You say, I just can't afford it. You can't afford not to. Amen. The fellow said, well, I can't afford to tithe. I make so much money. He said, I can't afford to give that kind of money away. Okay. We'll pray that God will take your salary down where you can afford to tithe. Amen. I wish I could tithe $1,000 a week. Amen. Because that means if my math is right, and I'm not good, but if 10% is 1,000, that must be 10 grand a week. I could probably squeak by on that for a while. Amen. Of course, then we'd do what all Americans do. If I made 10 grand a week, we'd just learn to live on 10 grand a week. You ever notice people say, well, no matter how much money I make, we can't get ahead. I know you can't. Because you're going to spend what you make. If you get a pay raise, isn't it amazing how soon it's just eaten up and you never know how you got by without it? This fella quit smoking one time. This was years ago. He was spending about $30 a week on cigarettes. And he figured out, boy, if he quit smoking, he could save all this money. Well, he quit. I asked him, I said, are you saving that money? He said, I don't have her paid for them, so I don't know where that money goes. You need to make your money in a way that God can bless. Then you need to tithe it. Amen. And by the way, don't tithe it to one of them TV preachers. Amen. And don't tithe it to some ministry outside of your local church. Amen. Now, if you want to do that, it's fine. But when your wife or your youngin is sick and in the hospital and you need somebody to visit, you call them. Amen. And your youngins need to get married, you call them. And somebody in your family needs burying and you need comforting, you call them. Amen. They got your money and you didn't support your church and you didn't support the local ministry where you went to church. You gave it all to somebody else. Okay, fine. Free country, help yourself. But when you need somebody for something, you call them. Amen. Don't call me.
I can't believe you said that.
Sure I said that. I used to listen to Jack Woods, and I picked up a lot of his philosophy. He said some stuff that made a lot of sense to me. He was an old Texas preacher. He's by half crazy, but he's just crazy enough to make sense sometimes. This fella came to him one time, and he said, Brother Jack, he said, oh, so-and-so's over there in the hospital, and they're dying. They're on the deathbed. And this man and Jack Woods had had a big fight years ago, and Jack had tried two or three times to reconcile, and old boy wouldn't have nothing to do with him. Cussed him out, called him everything but white. Well, now he's on his deathbed and he's dying, so he sent this old boy over and said, go over and tell Jack Woods to come over here and see me. We need to get things right. And Jack Woods said, "See, go back and tell that sorry devil I ain't going nowhere. He hated me all of his life. He can die and go to hell hating me." I said, all right, Jack. He said, I ain't going to give that sorry devil the benefit of going over there so he can ease his conscience. Should have eased his conscience 30 years ago. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know if I'd do that or not, but I like that stuff. Then, number three. Make your money in a manner that God can bless. Tithe off what you make. And then spend your money wisely. In 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 7, there's a passage there that deals with paying lawful debts. If you owe it, pay it. You say, well, I bought that old car and I didn't drive it 6 months and it started having trouble. I ain't paying for that piece of junk. Wait a minute. You put your name on the dotted line and said, I'll give you $40 a week or $100 a month or whatever it was for the next 12, 18, 24 months, whatever it is. If you give me that car, and you bought that thing as is or whatever, guess what? It's yours. Next time you spend your money, be more careful. But you pay that debt. Amen. Amen? Somebody gives you credit for something, you go down and buy a couch or a chair from Barry's, pay for it. But Steve and Sister Judy need the money. If you make an obligation, you're supposed to keep your word. You took an oath. You said, I will pay. Here's my signature guaranteeing it. And he gave you his goods or his property or his service or whatever it was. You know what one of the worst things people do? Pay doctor bills. When they're sick, they don't care what it costs. They want the best doctor. I don't want to go down here to the 24-hour help-yourself medical mart. Because everybody knows them doctors that work down there are the guys that flunked out of the class, you know. Them's the C and D students. All the guys that were Sigma Cum Laude are working up at Presbyterian. Amen. Making the big bucks. Amen. Now, them little places along the street here, they just charge you big bucks. But that's not the one you want. You want the specialist. You want the best in the world. And you want every piece of high-tech equipment they've got. You want them CAT scans and, I don't care what it is. When you're sick and dying, or you think your relatives are dying, spare no cost. Don't worry about it, Doc. You just take care of them. Then you get that bill. Oh, this is outrageous. I ain't paying that. That's highway robbery. Wait a minute. That's what you wanted. Why didn't you go in there and say, now listen, Doc, I love her to death, but she is getting kind of old and cranky, and I want the $29.95 fix-up, you know. Do everything you can up to $500, and after that, let her ride. That ain't what you do. My mother was in the hospital. They were operating on her. She had a heart attack in the middle of the surgery. They had to give her a shot to stop the heart attack. The shot, one shot, was $2,000. My daddy didn't bat an eye. He didn't say, let's pray about it. He said, give her the shot. He didn't hesitate that long. He said, give her the shot. And then he paid the bill. Amen. Oh, boy, when we're in a panic, when we want something, it's like them folks, you know, when the air conditioner breaks. They don't care what time of the day or night it is. Get on over here. I can't live in this heat. Then you send them that overtime bill, and they are crying the blues. I don't want to hear it. I want my money. Amen. Pay your bills. Pay your lawful debts. Then you have to have money. We call it maintenance money. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 7. Maintenance money is operating money. Money to pay the necessities. The light bill. The phone bill. The cell bill. The cable bill. Those necessities of life. Those things that a good red-blooded American cannot live without. Do you ever think about how much money you spend every week that you don't have to spend? My wife goes every week and gets her hair fixed. She goes every week or every other week or whatever it is, I can't keep track, to get her plastic fingernails fixed. We have to go out to eat Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Oh, it is good. It's wonderful. But I can remember years and years and years when we knew none of that. I fixed her hair. You see what I'm saying? We live on a whole different plateau these days. And we've got all these things that we just... Well, I don't know how you get by without that. I've cut my expenses to the bare bone. Well, how come you got all the cable channels? Amen. And a cell phone and high-speed internet access. And not a person in this room can't live without a computer in their house. You just think you can't. You don't want to. And I hope you don't have to, but you could. Amen? Money gets tight. What you have to do is quit living so high on the hog. Anyway, you have to have maintenance money. Most people live week to week, basically. We either draw us a weekly salary or we're hourly employees or whatever it is. But we have... within reason, a pretty good idea of how much money we're going to have to operate and live on every week. Right? Well, we have to take that. One, we've got to pay tithes on it. You've got to pay taxes on it. But whatever the net is that you're bringing home after taxes and tithes, that's what you've got to live on. Well, you need to sit down and figure out what your maintenance expenses are. Upkeep on the house. the bills you have to pay. And you have to put a certain amount in there for emergencies. You have to have some contingency money because something's going to break sooner or later. You're going to have to call a plumber or the heat and air guy. And we ain't cheap. Amen. You need to budget that. You need to sit down and be realistic. And don't ever cut it to the bare bone. Because it's always going to be more than you think. Always is. Then you need to have some money to save. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Everybody ought to save. Now it may be a paltry amount, but there'll be something. You ought to have a consistent, dedicated practice of setting aside some of your income. Now that may be used for education. It may be used in old age. It may be used for emergencies. It may be used for vacation or recreation. And by the way, vacation and recreation ought to never enter your budget money. You ought to be able to take a vacation or go on a recreational thing without having to take money out of the weekly or monthly budget to do it. Okay. You never go in the hole to have fun. You never go in the hole to have fun. Amen. Having fun is with extra money. Amen. Unassigned money. Uncommitted money. Save some. Now, people start out to save and they say, I'm going to save. And a lot of times they start with too much and they find out they can't do it, so they quit saving anything. A good way to save money is payroll deductions, 401k, those kind of things. Or a bank draft, mutual funds where they draft it from your account or take it out of your check. A good way to get started is the very next time you get a pay raise. Don't ever put the first dollar in your pocket. You say, oh, man, I'm going to have $20 a week more. Put it in. There is no law in heaven or earth that says you have to spend everything you get. The only people who believe that are young people. Oh, I got plenty of time for that. I'll do that later. And the first thing you know, they're 35, 40, 45, 50, and they don't have a dime. And now they're at the point in their life where their health's going to start to fail. The kids are in college, and this kind, or they want to take trips, or they'd like not have to work so hard. They'd like to get an easier job, and they can't afford it. Because in their youth, they were frivolous. You're going to pay the price one place or the other. It is easier to pay when you're young. Amen. Save some money. And then, I love this part. Luke chapter 12, verse 19. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 24. Enjoy your money. After you paid Uncle Sam. After you pay God. After you pay Sears. And Duke Power. And Bell South. If there's any left over, enjoy it. Amen? Now, that don't mean you have to enjoy all of it this week or tonight. Like we got guys, they get paid on Friday. They brokered a convict on Saturday morning. They go out and party it all up. I had a fellow tell me a while back. He said, boy, he said, I met this little redheaded girl and said, she knows how to spend my money. He said, we went out Friday night, and of course he was sobering up on Saturday. He said, Saturday night, I took a shower and got dressed and was looking around and said, I'd spent every dime I had. He didn't have a nickel. He worked all week long. And you know what? You know what they do? They come in there, and for 5 days, here'd be two or three guys sitting around eating lunch, and you see one guy not eating. I say, you're not going to eat lunch? I'm not hungry. He's lying like a dog. He ain't got a dime. He don't have any lunch. He ain't got any money to buy any lunch. Dumb. got a whole week ahead of him. I do not want to go hungry 5 days in a row. Give me my ham and cheese. Now, then you need to, number three or four, wherever I'm at, I don't know, debt control. Here's where we get in trouble. Make yourself a budget and stick to it. Make a realistic budget and stick to it. Don't make a daydream or a nightmare budget. You say, well, we can cut this right here, and we can cut right here, and boy, you just got yourself living on nothing. That's a miserable way to live. It is no fun living flat broke all the time. I don't mind working and laboring, but I want to enjoy it a little along the way. See? Now, so I advocate being wise and being frugal and saving and all that, and you can do that if you got good spending practices and still have some to take mama out on Friday night or go somewhere, go shopping. Or if you don't get to go anywhere, do anything, I mean, what are we working for? Amen? I don't want to be chained to the house all the time because I owe everybody and the son ain't got a dime. Budget your money. Stick to it. Control impulse spending. Now, boy, you're talking about a place where Americans spend gazillions of dollars every year and have little or nothing to show for it. Everywhere you go, there's a sale. Amen? And so, oh, I was going down the other day and I saw this sign. They had a whatchamacallit in there for 60% off. Boy, it was a deal. Did you need it? Well, I didn't really need it. Then what'd you buy it for? Well, it was a good deal. Had you planned on buying it? Is spending that money going to disrupt something else in your economic chain? Well, I may have to. If you had to change something to buy it, you didn't need it. Yeah. Amen? You should let that thing sitting in the window. Yeah. That impulse spending gets you in trouble. But, you know, people say, well, you know, I don't do that. I don't go in them stores and buy this, that, and the other, and the TVs. And I said, I control my impulse spending. Really? How many sodas do you buy out of a machine or in a convenience store? How many candy bars you buy? How many Mickey D's you been to? You're going by the machine there and you just plop a dollar and $19.29 in there for a Coke. Right? You stop at a convenience store, anybody what they cost? $1.20, $1.30, something like that. Let's see, two of them a day, that's $2.60. Well, and I did get that Snickers while I was there. That's 89 cents. Now we spent $3. That's Monday. And three or four on Tuesday. And three or four on Wednesday or Thursday and Friday. You'd have spent $20. Your wife could have bought soft drinks at the grocery store for 50 cents a piece. And a six-pack of candy bars for what you paid one or two. Amen? Now let's just multiply that 52 times. You're wasting $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a year just because, oh, I think I need a coat. That's an impulse. You could have taken care of that. I carry a thermos of iced tea. My wife puts two beef jerkies and a pack of cheese crackers in my lunchbox. I don't buy them candy bars. I ain't giving you a dollar for a 10-cent candy bar. I ain't going to do it. And I ain't paying $1.30 for a Pepsi. Amen? I would rather take that money and hold on to it and go on vacation and have my vacation paid for. I'd rather be able to take my wife out on the weekends and not have to worry about it next week. Now, most of us don't make enough money to do all of that. We can't buy every Coke and every candy bar and every toy and every goodie that we see when we want it and still have money to spend on the weekends or to make vacations or go on trips with. What, something's got to go. There's only X number of dollars in the kitty. You've got to assign some value to things. I would rather be able to take my wife out on the weekends or take a trip every 2 or 3 months, keep my marriage and my romance alive, than I would to eat candy bars and drink soda pops or eat at Mickey D's. Amen? And if I could spend $2,000, $2,500, whatever it is, on candy bars, Cokes, lunches and all that, if I could save that money, I could take my wife on a cruise. Amen. Control that impulse spending. Keep your credit to a minimum. I got a whole bunch more stuff, but I got to go. I only got 5 minutes. I got to give you these four notes. Well, I'm not going to go. I don't have time for all. I'm going to skip that one. Note number two. Because I'm skipping over note number one. Part-time jobs. Part-time jobs or second jobs almost never get anybody out of trouble. They say, I'm going to get a part-time job. We got a little behind and we need to catch up, or we got to buy something new, and so I'm going to get this part-time job, or I'm going to take this second job just till we get this straightened out. And by the time you get that straightened out, something else needs straightening out. Or you find something you want, and you go in debt to get it. And now you can't afford to quit. You know why a lot of women have to leave home and go to work? Because they wanted something, and they couldn't afford it. So they said, well, I'm going to get a job, and we'll get this, and as soon as it's paid off, I'm going to quit. 30 years later, they're still working. Don't start. Don't start it. Learn to live on what you got. Amen. Amen. Need you at home raising them their babies. And babies need you. Amen. More than you need whatever it is. Amen. Listen, if you can't learn to live on what you're making now, what makes you think you're going to learn to live on this extra? It don't work that way. You just jack up your standard of living to match the new income level. Don't do it. I've seen people try it a million times. And I'm not saying it happens to everybody. There are some exceptions. I understand that. There's almost always an exception. But the exception to the rule never overthrows the rule. It's the exception. 98% will go just like I said it would go. Then I got another note down here. Watch Starbucks and the soft drinks. That's that impulse spending again, but I thought it was worth a second mention because we spend so much money at it. We had a fellow that worked for us, and I watched him one day. The boy came into the office, and he pretty much does this every day. I watched him. I do research before I talk. So I watched this guy. He came to work every morning. He had a pack of cigarettes in his shirt pocket. That's $3. He had a can of Pepsi with one of them covers on it. He likes them little rubber covers so it stays cold. He came to work with the Pepsi and the cigarettes. They go to, every day he goes to Mickey D's or Hardee's or Burger King or one of them places. And they spend between $5 and $7 every single day on lunch. In the afternoon, he opens a second pack of cigarettes, $3 more. He drinks 3 or 4 Pepsi Colas out of the machine every day. They're $1 apiece. Let's see. Let's just be generous. We'll say $5 for lunch, $4 for Pepsis, $9. 2 packs of cigarettes, $6, $15. If you don't buy another thing. 5 days times 15. Guy making $14, $15 an hour. Got a family. You tell me how you can afford it. Well, I never thought about it like that. I know. That's why you're always broke, too. Amen. Don't you want to get to that point in life where if you want to quit, you can quit? If you want to take a trip, you can. You cannot do that and spend it all today. Amen. You got to have some money management. I don't care how much God blesses you. I don't care what kind of good job you got and all this, that, and the other. You can blow it all away and end up with nothing. You're going to end up old and never been anywhere, never done anything, and never had anything, and never will. And it's not because you couldn't have. Just, well, I just never made enough money. Sure did. You just didn't manage it right. Now, I'm going to tell you what my wife and I do. I am not recommending you do what we do. Every household, every family, every couple is different. What works for us probably won't work for you. But something will work for you. You need to find that something and stick to it. Now, I'm a romantic. I like those little getaways, just me and the wife in a nice hotel room and take her shopping and a nice dinner. I like romance. I like to get away with her and just me and her and enjoy each other. It's expensive. Now, I am not the kind of guy that goes on a trip and chintzes. If you think I'm going on vacation and I'm going to eat at Mickey D's for breakfast and Hardee's for lunch, you're out of your mind. I just soon stay home. That ain't no vacation. I can do that at home. I go on vacation, I want to kick up my heels. I want to eat hound hog, glow in the chicken. Amen? So my wife and I take X number of dollars, and it's not a lot, every week. I stick it away. No matter what, I put that away. If I make any overtime, we put that away. And about every 3 or 4 months, we take off. We take off on Friday night, and we get one of them Hampton Inns, $100, $130, whatever it is. We ate steak. We ate steak and eggs for breakfast. Have big lunches. We don't skimp. We're having a good time. Amen? I'm on vacation. I'm out with my sweetheart. And I'm not going to ask her to eat breakfast at Mickey D's and lunch at Hardee's. I'm going to treat her right. You stick with me, baby. Our weekends are, I don't mean exorbitant, I don't mean that now, but they're expensive. But it never impacts our budget. Or our bills, or our tithes, or our savings, because we set it aside, and when we go, it is all prepaid. And I don't have to worry about it. Well, I hope I can work some overtime next week and catch this up. Not like that. I don't have to worry about it 1 second. Because when we decide to go, I go and open that little old box up and take the money out and put it in my pocket, and we go. Amen? I don't know how much money you make. I don't know what your aspirations in life are. But I know this, that most of us make enough that if we would use it wisely and stick to it and not spend ahead, get ourselves in debt right up to here, if we quit buying every little trinket and every little gadget every week, we'd have money for the weekends where we could enjoy each other and still have money to set aside and take those vacations or those little trips. And life can be pretty doggone enjoyable for the average working man if we use our head. Amen. Money is a defense. Money answereth all things. In this life, that's pretty much true. It's your money. You have to decide how to handle it. You have to figure out what works for you. But I'm going to tell you right now, you better get yourself a plan. You better get yourself a scheme that you and your wife can live with and then stick to that thing. And if you do, you can go places and do things and never be in debt up to here. Somebody say amen. Amen.
Well, boy, I never thought I'd go to church and talk about money all night.
Well, it's because you never read your Bible. I'm supposed to declare the whole counsel of God. Why do you think God put all that stuff in there about money? Because He knows we have a hard time with it. Self-discipline is the hardest discipline there is. To say no when you want something, to say no when you see something that really excites you, that's hard to do. But you have to. Amen? Let's bow our head. Brother Lewis, you dismiss us.